Hello and welcome. Wherever you are in the world today, thank you for joining us for the Rise Traveler, unpacking conversations of sustainable travel. We are here to talk to eco-minded and socially conscious travelers, diversity and inclusion specialists, wildlife conservationists, environmental activists, and anyone using travel as a way to uplift and inspire. Together, we will go a step beyond the Instagram-ready world of travel and take a look at how travel can be a source of growth and development for all people and all communities. This podcast is an extension of the Rise Travel Institute, a 501c3 nonprofit committed to empowering young travelers through educational programs, research, study tours, and scholarships. Visit risetravelinstitute.org to learn more. And now, here's your host, Amy Hager.
Hello, wherever you are in the world today. Thank you for joining us on the Rise Traveler, Unpacking Conversations of Sustainable Travel. We're here to talk about how travel can be uplifting and inspiring, going a step beyond that Instagram-ready world of travel, and really take a look at how travel is a source of growth and development for all people in all communities. And here at the Rise Travel Institute, we're committed to empowering young travelers through educational programs, research, study, tours, and scholarships. So if you haven't visited our website, go to risetravelinstitute.org. I'm your host, Amy Hager. Welcome. Today, I'm excited to have Lambert join me from Rwanda, and we're going to dive in through a lot of different things in our conversation today. But the first thing that I would love to talk about, Lambert, is you have created a Conscious Travel in Rwanda short course for us here at the Rise Travel Institute. And can you just tell the audience a little bit more about that course? What will they learn if they take that course?
Thank you, Amy. Thank you for having me, having this opportunity to speak about Rwanda destination.
Yeah.
So Rwanda is a very small country in Central Africa that have a very big history. So the course is about Rwanda, of course, the country in Africa, different cultures, languages, different histories. So through the course, people will be able to know what is Rwanda. Uh-huh. Then Rwanda have had a very tragic history, the genocide that happened in 1994. 1 million people were killed in only 100 days.
Uh-huh.
So people will get to understand how this genocide happened in 20th century, whereas the world had declared never again to the genocide, but also know how the country tried to fight the genocide and the after genocide. Now to the Rwanda that we are having today, that some people are visiting, people are excited to see, to connect with the people that are motivated to work. So the people will be able to know the journey we have gone through from all these stories until now to a peaceful country that everyone is willing to visit.
And so by taking part in the short course, like getting, I think, that history, understanding what happened with the genocide and what the country is like now, is really, really great, because I know that Rwanda probably isn't on a lot of people's bucket lists to go travel to, right? And so by taking this course and learning more about the country and the history, do you think more people are interested in coming to visit Rwanda now?
Yeah, sure. I have seen a lot of people coming to visit Rwanda. They are even choosing to visit Rwanda from other countries in neighboring countries. So there is a lot of things to learn from Rwanda, through the history, through how the efforts that have been made to reconcile again the people that have been killing each other, and see how the communities are now being improved through different activities, even including tourism. Tourism is really contributing to the livelihoods, so to the welfare of the communities, because one of the attractions or activities that are visited, they are local communities, initiatives. Some are even the response to the issues left out by the genocide, because we have the widows, we have orphans who were not having any other thing to generated them some revenues, but tourism have shown to be one of the responses to those issues by employing people in the community, those who didn't have a chance to go to school that can have opportunities in tourism, like making crafts, tour reading, performing some cultural activities, performances that tourists can visit and even be willing to pay some money to those people to make their lives.
And I will dive a little bit more into the impact that tourism has on Rwanda. So tell me a little bit more about you and what's your background and how did you get into tourism?
Thank you very much. As you said, my name is Lambert. Hategekimana is my Kinyarwanda name, which I'm a tour operator and at the same time serving as the general manager of Rwanda Eco Company and Safari. Rwanda Eco Company and Safari is a local tour company for over 10 years in service, organizing some tour and travel services in Rwanda and across East Africa. When I say across East Africa, that means the countries of East Africa like Uganda, Tanzania, Kenya, Burundi, and the Democratic Republic of Rwanda. So these are the countries that we are working in, that we are organizing tours. So my work includes the tour operations, office management, and marketing that involves even connecting with clients that are visiting Rwanda, tracing some through different platforms to visit Rwanda, and connect them with the destinations we have in Rwanda, the local communities, the local attractions. I entered in tourism. I have been studying in some other sectors. I have been a teacher, I have been a manager of a high school, and later I even worked with the National Commission for Children with different positions at even managerial level. But during my teaching career, when I met a student, was my student at the time, but later we met when he graduated from tourism school and he was operating a tour company. So when we discussed, he showed me some other opportunities in tourism. Traveling have been always my hobby, but speaking, discussing with him showed me how even tourism can, traveling can even offer some other good opportunities. So with my commitment and the willing to support, because I was seeing some kids through my work, vulnerable people that are not even having something to eat, some clothes to put on. So I later found out that through tourism, I can have business, I can still travel as my hobby, but I can also help people to change their lives through tourism. My former student, who is now my partner, one who introduced me to tourism, to combine his skills in tourism, because he graduated from a tourism school, he had skills, but me also having managerial skills from my experience in different positions. So we're able to create something very big in tourism, and we created this company that is now operating different tour activities, and we are now at a level that we are happy that we are producing something for ourselves and for the community and for the company in general, because we are generating something that helps everyone in the sector, in our circle.
So you're making a positive impact. And so it was a student when you were a teacher is now your business partner. And you know, one thing I've recognized about you in our conversation today is you really do a great job of building connection. Yeah. You knew someone who introduced you to our executive director, Vinci. And so through connecting travelers to the communities that you represent in Rwanda and the people there, how have you seen, like, tell a story of the impact that you've seen on the lives that you've been able to create because you're bringing tourists into Rwanda who may not have gone into the communities before?
Yeah, thank you very much. Actually, we always see feedback from people that we are working with. some of them are the people in the communities. You know that in tourism, we are selling products. So there are different community initiatives around the national park that we have in Rwanda. We have the volcanoes for gorilla trekking that attract many people. We have some cultural villages, some art craft shops around. You have tour guides that we are using to guide the tourists. So we sell all these products. We use these people in the communities to help us organize the tours. So we don't have any other choice other than working with them, but always using them and see how they are happy, see the feedback that they are giving us, how their lives, even ourselves with them, and see how they are improving. Of course, we have to be well organized, how they can organize themselves, how they can improve their products, but the feedback that we are getting, you are visiting a widow who had no hope in the future because they had children, had no job. Most of the women widows of the genocide had no chance to go to school. In our history, women were not given opportunities to go to school. So after genocide, the genocide were targeting mainly men. So imagine a widow with about 5 kids and is not educated, she has no other revenues. So when it gives them the opportunity to do the craft, because you don't need to be educated to do the craft, you don't need to be educated to do a cultural performance, a cultural dance. So we serve them to help them organize themselves to make some products that are really rewarding. But in the end, when we hear today's story, we have some women that will tell you, my kids are now graduate from university because I have been able to raise them, buy their shoes, buy everything, and make them. We have many testimonies that are shared with tourists. When we have tourists traveling to Rwanda, we let them hear from the communities. We let them hear from these parents who have been able to raise their children, change their lives themselves. We are really excited to be doing is really making some changes.
And so you're providing these opportunities to the widows from the genocide who have children who they would have no money for clothes, food, college, university. And so being able to help them, I would say, build these micro businesses so that they can interact with the tourists and really make a future for themselves. And so when you really look into that crystal ball and you look into the future of tourism in Rwanda, what does the future look like?
Yeah, I'll say that it's promising. It's promising in a sense that tourism is a very growing sector, a very productive sector in a country, since the government is putting in to market the destination, to encourage the investment in the sector, building some hotel facilities, facilitating tour operators as ourselves. We are facilitated to do our job with a good organization. So I will assure you that our clients prefer to come to Rwanda because of the good organization. Imagine a country 25 years back had the genocide when people were killing each other, but now it's a safe country that you can travel. So I would say that it's promising. We are seeing how it is improving lives, how it is generating money, and responding to the issues that we had in the past and the issues we are having now. I would say that we had genocide, and the widows and the orphans have been able to get chances to go to school because of employing their parents. Now, the issue that we are having is employment. Those kids that were able to go to school are not able to get some jobs in other structured services. But tourism is one of the sectors that are also employing many people.
Yeah, the orphan children are now serving as tour guides and kind of coming back to something that they probably have known really well. I'm sure if there's been tours happening as they were little, now that they're adults, they're able to participate in the community.
Actually, those graduates are now helping to improve those parents' initiatives. Someone is coming from the school will be able to help his parents to improve on what he's doing. That's what we are now experiencing something that we are seeing, a very good improvement, people from responding to issues by the tourism sector. It's really, really interesting.
Yeah. And so then when you think about the legacy that you want to leave behind in this world, what is that?
Very good question. Actually, I will tell you that one of the guys are my former students. I see them working, how they are improving, how they now become grown up and they're doing good. So the legacy I want to leave behind is see those people that have passed in my eyes, in my hands, being developed into responsible citizens. Some of the people that can even help their fellows, that even can change the lives of their fellows. Like I've said, my former student, I'm calling him my partner, but I should be calling him my boss because he's the one who introduced me.
Yeah.
So you see, if you can have a chance of seeing those people that have grown in your eyes, that you have helped to grow up, it's really something that is heart-touching, something that I need to see in the future when I will be old and see people moving around. Always receiving messages from some parents, some kids that I have helped throughout my career. So I want to see a lot of people that can benefit from my efforts. And it's a blessing to me.
Yeah, it's impressive to see how many people you've been able to have a positive influence on and really improve their lives, Lambert. Well, thank you so much for joining me today and joining us on the show. It was really great to get to know a little bit more about you, but also about Rwanda and conscious travel, we'll visit there. So thank you for sharing more.
Yeah, thank you very much for this opportunity, and I take this opportunity to welcome you and even everyone who is listening and who is who will have a chance to listen to this story. We have a lot of stories to share, have a lot of things to show people, and I can assure you that if you visit Rwanda, you will see some interesting, heart-touching stories that everyone can be proud to hear.
Awesome. Well, thank you. And as I said, that brings us to an end of our journey today. But if you like what you've heard and you want to hear more, subscribe, like, and comment. You can follow us at Rise Travel Institute on Facebook and Instagram. And here at the Rise Travel Institute, we believe that travel is a powerful tool for transformative change. And just like Lambert shared today, the impact that can be made on these communities and the lives of people are really important to us. And so if you're a college student, maybe planning a study abroad trip, a young professional thinking about a gap year, or really anyone who wants to travel the world in a sustainable way, we encourage you to head to risetravelinstitute.org to learn more information about our educational courses. And we'll be back soon with another episode, but until then, keep roaming, keep learning, and continue to be a Rise Traveler.
This podcast is an extension of the Rise Travel Institute, a 501c3 nonprofit committed to empowering young travelers through educational programs, research, study tours, and scholarships. Visit risetravelinstitute.org to learn more.